Well, tonight we're continuing with that theme of prayer because we're in this series where we're talking about praying for the lost. And this evening I want to talk to you about praying for missionaries. Now, we hope that our missionaries aren't lost, but they are reaching lost people. And so in that way, praying for missionaries is praying for the lost. Now, some of you may have a great deal of experience praying for missionaries. Maybe you have been around a long time. You've heard a number of missionaries come and speak. You've heard other people pray for missionaries, and you've prayed for them a lot yourself. But others may feel a little awkward about it, not sure exactly what to ask, unsure what a missionary does, and not certain about what the specific needs a missionary has might be. And so tonight I want to be practical and help you understand how is it that you should pray for missionaries. My family and I, in our home, we keep a bulletin board on which we pin all of the prayer cards that we get from missionaries who are visiting the church. And then we just kind of go through them as we're doing devotions in the evening, and we pray for those missionaries one by one, or each of us will choose one and pray for those missionaries. And when the kids are young, they don't really know how to pray for missionaries. And so sometimes they even complain that they don't know what to say. So we give them some basic idea of what to say, some basic instruction, prayer. And their prayers usually sound something like this: please help missionary so-and-so tell people about Jesus. And that's about it. It's a great place to start. That stage seems to last for quite a while. And then as we talk about missionaries and we pray for missionaries together more, and they hear Andrea and I praying for missionaries and addressing their needs, their prayer vocabulary and their thoughtfulness begins to expand. So they'll start praying things like, please provide for their needs, or please give them opportunities to tell others about Jesus, or please keep them safe as they tell others about Jesus. And they grow in their ability to pray. And then as we continue to help them to understand what missionaries do, they begin to pray for the lost people in the countries where the missionaries serve. And hopefully their thoughtfulness and their purposefulness in praying for missionaries continues to grow. And I tell you this because if you've not ever spent any time praying for missionaries or hearing others pray for missionaries, then you might feel sheepish or even embarrassed that you don't know what to pray for. But you shouldn't feel that way. You don't know what you don't know, but you can learn what you don't know. You can grow in your ability to pray. So I want to help you to understand the kinds of things that you should pray for the missionaries that we give toward and that we send together. And before we get to some of the practical details of how to pray for missionaries, let me just address briefly why you should pray for missionaries in the first place. And maybe this seems obvious to you, but for many people, they want to be practical, they're doers, and praying can come across as kind of a passive activity to them. But spiritual work requires spiritual work. That's how I would put it. Spiritual work requires spiritual work. What I mean is this: missionaries leave their homes, they leave their families, they leave the comforts of their culture to go and do spiritual work of proclaiming the Lord Jesus in a place with which they're unfamiliar, at least at first. And of course, missionaries do practical things too, like caring for the poor and establishing schools and training leaders, but their work is for the spiritual purpose of glorifying God and bringing people into his kingdom by telling them about Jesus. And that kind of work cannot be done without depending on God, and depending on God happens in prayer. The Apostle Paul included a request for prayer for himself and for his associates in their missions work no fewer than 7 times in his letters throughout the New Testament that he wrote to various churches. At Romans 15:30, Paul urged the church to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The word translated strive together indicates joining in an intense effort to take sides or to join alongside someone in a battle or a contest. In other words, Paul was telling the churches that when they prayed for him, they were to pray intently, and that made them a part of his missionary team. They were joining his team. And of course, Paul would not ask for prayer with such an emphasis on it if he didn't believe that that would make a difference. Listen to what he says into his confidence at Philippians 1:19. He says this: for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. At the time, Paul was imprisoned for sharing the gospel, and he was sure that the prayers of the church in Philippi were going to make a real difference and bring about his release and continued ministry. When you pray for missionaries, you become part of their team. And here at Bethany, we support over 180 missionaries and missions organizations. We were at 180, and I think we just added about five more. So we're probably at about 185 now that we support. But we don't just want to be on their financial team. We want to be on their spiritual team. We want to be on their prayer team, praying with them that God will do a great work where they're ministering. We want to contend together with them, to fight on their side, to join the team and see God's kingdom established in the ends of the earth. And so here's how you can pray for missionaries and you can join that spiritual team. The first way to pray for missionaries is to pray for missionaries. Now, I'm not just repeating myself. I mean, I am technically, but there's more to it than that. I don't mean pray for existing missionaries. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to pray for new missionaries. I mean what Jesus says at Matthew 9:37-38, where he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And Jesus gave this command to his apostles after he saw the harassed and helpless state of the crowds of people who were coming to him. And this command to pray was not just to pray for missionaries to foreign countries or to pray for people who get their livelihood through missionary work, but it was an instruction to pray for people who would be concerned with Jesus' mission wherever they are. And that includes you and I, of course, that we should be laborers in God's harvest. But we should also recognize that there is a need for missionaries in places where we cannot go and to people who have never yet heard the name Jesus or never had an adequate witness of the gospel of Christ. And as when Paul encouraged the saints to pray for him, the word that Jesus used when he says to pray for laborers indicates intensity, that we would implore God. It means to ask for something pleadingly. It's often translated in other parts of the New Testament as to beg for something. And it communicates this intensity. Jesus saw the intense need, and that encouraged him to instruct us toward intense prayer. We should pray that God would call more laborers into his harvest. There are people all over the world who do not know the good news of the gospel of Jesus. There are countless people in nations around the world who do not have access to the gospel. And there are many, many others who technically we could say they live in nations where they have access to the gospel, but they don't understand it because no one has ever explained it to them. They're like that Ethiopian eunuch that Philip met on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And even though he was reading the Bible when Philip approached him, Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading, and he replied in Acts 8:27, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so we should pray for missionaries because the need is great, both to people who have never heard and to those who are in countries where they should have heard, but maybe the country is post-Christian like much of Europe, and that gospel witness there is something that is stale and has been stagnant, and it needs to be revived. The harvest is plentiful. According to the Assemblies of God World Missions, as of 2020, there were over 7,000 unreached people groups. That means groups of people who have a distinct language and culture, and they've never had an adequate witness of the gospel of Jesus. Usually they define it as being something like less than 2% or even around less than 0.5% of people in that culture would identify themselves as Christians. And the Assemblies of God missionaries are currently engaging 300 unreached people groups. That's wonderful. But with 7,000, that leaves 6,300 distinct groups of people in the world who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. A missions organization called the Joshua Project estimates that there are 3.23 billion people in these unreached people groups. Billion. 3.23 billion people have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel that you and I hear every Sunday and every Wednesday and probably several times in between. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, we must pray. We must ask God specifically to call men and women, to call boys and girls, to give up their lives and to go for Him. We must pray that God will call people from our church to a place of undeniable urge and passion and fire in their lives to take the good news of the gospel to people who have not heard. We must pray that God would call children and put a holy passion in their hearts to see the world know Jesus. We must pray that God would work in the hearts of retirees who would say, God is not done with me yet, and He has a use for me in missions. We must pray for those who are at the height of their careers to hear God's call to say, give up what you're doing now, take your skills somewhere else and use them for me among a group of people that have never heard the gospel. We need to pray that people would hear God's still small voice above those other voices that are much louder oftentimes of doubt and of greed and of security and of pride, and they're tempted to give their lives to these things instead of going as God is calling them. We must pray that God would make His voice loud in their hearts so that they would go when they are called, that when they are called to give up the comforts of where they currently are, they would say like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And we must pray for the fire of revival to fall on our youth so that they will burn with a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ and they will be called to serve God, some of them even in foreign lands. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Plead with the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. It is His harvest. Surely, when He hears us call, He will not deny this kind of request when we ask it of Him. Tonight we're going to practice, much like we did last week, praying in these ways so that not only do you hear me preach what you ought to pray, but you can hear somebody pray for these kinds of requests when it comes to missions. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and Lori Zukowski is going to come, and she's going to lead us in prayer that God would raise up laborers for the harvest field.
Lord, those who are nearing retirement and are wondering, what am I going to do after I retire? Should I move to Florida? Should I move to a nice place? What should I do? And God, that You would just begin in their prayer times, Lord, to just be speaking to them, that You want them to give their retire years to You, Lord, that You want to use them for even a greater purpose, Lord. Even those who are just in a place in their career, Lord, where they're advancing and they're moving up, maybe they're looking to get a bigger or a better house, Lord, I pray that You would burden them for the unreached people groups, Lord, around the world, 7,000 unreached people groups, billions of people who have yet to hear, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would change the focus of our life to not focus on a big house and a big car and comfortable things and safe things, Lord, but that we would be challenged to live like the Word of God is telling us and to surrender all of those things to You, that we would be willing to go to some country that we've barely heard of, Lord, to bring Your news to them, Lord Jesus, so that they could go to heaven, Lord. I pray, God, that You would burden our hearts even here for unreached people groups. We know that there's unreached people groups all over the world, and there's some right here in Western Massachusetts. I pray that You would open our eyes not just to see the lost, but we would see unreached people. When we start to hear other languages and other cultures, that we would say to ourselves, maybe they're an unreached people group. Maybe I can find out where they hang out or where they go or what they do, and I can befriend them and I can try to share Jesus with them. And God, we need Your passion, we need Your heart, we need Your love to do these things. So we can't just do it in our own strength or do it just because we should, but we need You to burden our hearts for the people. We need You to give us a passion, Lord. We need You to give us a love and a heart for souls, Lord Jesus. And I pray that even as we pray now, that You would be putting Your heart into our heart, Lord. Your heart to reach people, Your heart to serve, to love people who are very different from us, who speak different languages, who have very different cultures, who believe in other gods, Lord. Be putting that heart into ours, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, for parents, that when their children feel that You're calling them, that they would encourage their children, that they would help them to learn about those cultures and to say, we support You, we want You to go and to serve however God is calling you. And likewise, if it's adults and they're feeling that You want them to go somewhere that their grown children would say, we release you. We know that you're getting older. We want you to use your years for God's kingdom. And they wouldn't be concerned about health or those other things and would trust that you would take care of them. God, we see that the harvest is way bigger than us. We want to partner with you. We know it burdens you greatly. And I pray you would help it to burden us greatly. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you that out of our church, you're going to be calling people. God, you're going to be calling young people. You're going to be calling the youth, Lord Jesus, as they're looking for their careers. You're going to be saying, come with me on an adventure to another part of the world. Thank you, God. And we want to partner with you in prayer and in all these ways. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. One of Paul's primary missionary requests was that the churches would pray that he would have an open door to share the gospel. He says in Colossians 4:3-4, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. I reached out to a few of the missionaries that we support and asked them how we should pray for them, how we should pray for missionaries generally. Selwyn Bodley, who is the missions coordinator here in the Southern New England Ministry Network, said to pray for new inroads to new communities and to new people groups. Michael Brown, a missionary that we support to Bolivia, said prayer should include open doors for ministry, favor in building relationships, encounters with the lost, strategies for reaching them. This is like the ministry side of the prayer. If unaware of specifics that the missionaries share, general prayer in these areas are a huge help, that God opens the right doors and helps guide the missionaries to them. This also includes prayers for the missionary to know when to say no to a potential opportunity because it's not the right one. An open door might be a new connection in a community that a missionary forms, a new relationship, a new friendship that gives access to a group or to people who share a hobby or to a new business group in a community. An open door could include a good relationship with local officials, the government, or a chief in a tribe. An open door could be a new strategy that the missionary hasn't yet considered, but that God reveals a new way to reach the people that he or she is called to. An open door might include a miraculous work that God does to bring to people's attention his power and his work in their lives. There are a whole multitude of ways that God can open a door. And think of some of the missionaries that are in the Bible. I mentioned earlier Philip, who God told to go and walk on a road, and there he just happened to meet a man from the queen's court of Ethiopia riding in a chariot and reading the Old Testament. What an open door. He sent a vision to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and then to Peter to open the door for the Gentiles to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember hearing the story of missionary Glenn Horst. While he was itinerating in the Midwest, he saw a brown and orange striped sweater in the window of a store, and he thought it was just what he wanted, so he stopped into the store, tried it on, it fit him, it was the right price, and so he bought it, and he took it with him back to China, where he spent a couple of the years learning the language and studying the culture, and then one day, he felt God prompt him to go to a remote village, and after a 2 days horse ride, he finally arrived in the rain and found a primitive inn in which to stay. He knew no one in the village. He didn't know a single contact there, but soon there was a knock on the door to his room, and he opened it, and there was a young man standing there who asked if he could come in and knew him by name, called him Pastor Gu, which was his Chinese name, and he was astonished that this young man knew his name, invited him in. The young man asked him then, will you sing me some Christian songs? And so Pastor Gu graciously obliged, and then he asked the young man who he was, and he told Glenn Horst this story. He said, in a marketplace, his mom saw a man selling a book, and the man was telling everybody in the marketplace, if you buy this book, you'll know the way to go to heaven. Well, she bought it, and it turns out it was a New Testament. And she read it among her family and in their village, and they believed in the person that the New Testament told them about, Jesus. They confessed their sins. They read how Jesus healed a blind man, and they had a blind man in their village. So they went and got him and prayed for him, and God opened the eyes of this blind man. And then one day, as they were praying, they all began to speak in a language that they didn't know and were filled with such joy. And then several days before Glenn arrived, God gave this young man a vision in which there was a man riding on a horse in an orange and brown striped sweater, and he told him, "This is the man who will teach you about the book that your mom's been reading, the Bible." Now, hopefully, God has updated his style from brown and orange stripes, but the point is this, that God can assist in opening astonishing doors for the gospel, and the Apostle Paul says that we should pray that God will open those doors. This should be a big part of how we pray for missionaries, and so we want to practice this kind of prayer together right now. So I'm going to ask Pastor Chuck to come up, and he's going to lead us in prayer for open doors. Will you stand and join him as we pray for open doors for missionaries?
Amen. Thank you. Well, we know God's heart is for the lost, because that's what the scripture is all about, right? It says, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. So when we go to the Lord and we pray on behalf of the lost, those that are both in our realm and maybe outside the realm that God has placed us, we know God will hear us, because that's God's heart. And so we should expect big things from God. And so as we pray tonight and we pray for open doors, I want you to think on the aspects of both home missionaries, of foreign missionaries, and think of yourself as a missionary, because you are, in a sense, wherever God has placed us, whether you're in your neighborhood or in your job or wherever you're at, you're a missionary of sorts and you're where God has placed you. So we're going to pray tonight, but we're going to pray specifically in these areas. Number one, that God would, for building relationships. We know how important relationships are, and that throughout the New Testament, we find that relationships were built that helped spread the gospel. So would you pray with me? Let this be your heart too. Lord, tonight we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't save us and just remove us and take us home, but you left us here for a reason. And you left us here, God, so that we could touch other lives through your power. And we pray, Father, Lord, that relationships would be built, Lord, in powerful ways, oh God, that would affect other lives. Lord, each of us here, we are going to affect lives, Lord. Lord, relationships that you're going to build, and we're trusting that you're going to put us together with people by divine origin, oh God, so that, Lord, that they can come to know Jesus, or seeds can be planted, oh God, from us to them and for the missionaries that we support as a part of this church. Lord, build strong relationships. Help us to bridge areas that we have never bridged before, but Lord, that you can open up opportunities. We pray for those open doors, Lord. Throughout the scripture, it talks about, Lord, pray for, Lord, that Paul said that your prayers help me. Pray for an open door. Paul, when he was in Ephesus, he said that a new door, an effective door of ministry is open for me, that I can share the gospel. But there was also those that opposed. But Father, if you are providing the open doors, Lord, and you're the one that's directing, we know that you're going to bring fruit from it. So we pray for our missionaries. We pray for our lives. The doors are going to be opened in new ways that have never been opened before. Open the right doors. Lord, we pray too, Lord, and the scripture says some doors were closed that where they shouldn't go. And Lord, we pray that there would be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we would know exactly where to go and to step back when we need to step back, and know that, God, that wherever you lead us, that's the right place. Lord, we can't do everything, but we can do what you show us to do. So we pray that, Lord, and we pray for that discernment that only you can give, Lord. We pray for open doors, Lord, in businesses and in government, for missionaries home and abroad, and even with us, oh God, that you would make connections, divine connections that only you can make, oh God. Father, you can give favor with businesses. They may not even know the reason why. They may not be believers, but you can give us favor. You can give us favor with leaders in our community, and we're believing for that even now. And for missionaries here at home and abroad, Lord, Lord, open up opportunities, God, in ways that only you can, Lord, that they can even, Lord, meet before kings and authorities, oh God, and give them favor in those avenues, God, where the doors have been closed, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. And especially, God, bring inroads, God, to new people groups, to new people, God, to people that, Lord, your word goes out to all. You deserve desire that all would be saved, God. So that includes every people group. Open the doors, Lord. Lord, where perhaps there's been difficult, there's been hurdles, there's been divisions, Lord. There's been, perhaps been communication issues. And Lord, as Loria prayed, maybe even cultural issues, Lord. Help us to be willing to reach in. And for our missionaries, God, we pray that you would give them wisdom and guidance and give them especially love, God, that they would be able to reach beyond in these areas, God. And so we thank you for this now, and we ask it, Lord, in your name, Jesus, and we believe for it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You can sit back down. The next thing I want to encourage you to pray for as you pray for missionaries is for open hearts and cultural strategy. And I put these two together because God often opens hearts through a cultural strategy. Again, Colossians 4:3-4 says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Paul understood that he was speaking a word that cannot be comprehended merely with the mind, but must be received spiritually. He asks for prayer that he can make it clear. It means he's praying that he can make it clear to the various peoples with whom he interacts in his extensive travels. His tactics in Athens differed from his tactics in preaching the gospel in Antioch or in Ephesus. And he required wisdom for that, for how God would use him in those situations. Missionaries today need that wisdom as well. There's a famous missionary autobiography called Peace Child, in which Don Richardson tells the story of how he and his wife Carol and their mission to a cannibalistic society in New Guinea. And they struggled for many, many years to find a way to connect with the people and to connect the gospel to this culture, because the culture was very different than Western culture or any other culture they had ever encountered. In fact, it was a culture that valued things like treachery and valued things like bribery and valued things like deceit. And they did not value things, by and large, like forgiveness and peace. And then they discovered an ancient tradition among these tribes by which peace could be brokered by giving up a child from one tribe for the other tribe to kill. And suddenly it hit them. This is the bridge that God has provided. And as barbaric as that practice may seem to us, it's not all that unlike what God did for us through his son Jesus, is it? Who gave up his son, who was killed by us for our sins so that we could be saved. And through that practice of the peace child, they were able to connect the gospel to that culture, and they were able to see a fruitful work of the gospel among a people who they formerly could not relate it to. They had a new strategy for open hearts. Our missionary to Yale, Chi Alpha missionary Rob Malcolm, said, "Pray for humble hearts to hear the Lord regarding how to communicate the gospel within the specific culture the missionary is working in." Selwyn Bodley said, "So many people are stuck in their traditions, and so pray for the softening of people's hearts. Pray for the challenges of cross-cultural ministry and for missionaries to have a real understanding of the cultures they're in." And this goes way beyond just praying for missionaries to tell people about Jesus and gets into asking God to help missionaries unlock the cultural language and move past the cultural barriers that might hinder the presentation of the gospel. And so we're going to practice praying in that regard tonight. And I'm going to ask Margie if she would come and pray for God to help missionaries to have open hearts and understand the cultural strategy they need to reach the people God has sent them to. Would you stand and would you pray with Margie?
Thank you, Father God, that you allow us to be here, Father God, so we can pray for our missionaries, Father God. Father God, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, that each and every one that is out there, Father God, doing your work, that you humble their hearts, Lord God, that they will be able, Father God, that they would be willing, Lord God, to listen to that small voice, Father God, for guidance, Father God, wherever you send them, Father God, wherever the culture barriers are, Father God, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you give them wisdom and knowledge, Father God, to kind of go over those barriers, that they won't be barriers anymore, Father God, that every time they speak your name, Father God, that you do what you do best, Father God, and that they will be able to understand and it gets rooted in their hearts, Father God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, that you continue, Lord God, to build them up, Lord God, that if they feel any anxiety, Father God, whether it be the language barrier or whatever it is that comes their way, Father God, that they can feel that hope in you, Father God, that you are there right beside them, Father God, and that you are leading them, Father God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, for more missionaries, like my sister and my brother said, that they would be willing to go, Father God, that when you touch their hearts, that they will be able to say yes, Father God. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, that any hindrance, Father God, that tries to sneak there, Lord God, so the missionaries can do what you call them to do, Father God, that you just remove that in the name of Jesus, Father God. I pray for safe travels for our missionaries, Father God. And I pray for fresh wisdom, Father God, and knowledge and ways that they can work and talk, Father God, when they're in these different cultures, Father God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that when they're in night, that they're sleeping, Father God, if they have a language barrier, Father God, or whatever it is, Lord God, that you just lift them up, Father God, and that you just let them know that they know that they know that their Heavenly Father is right there by them sides and will give them the words to say, or whatever it is that they need for that day, Father God. And we continue to give you all the praise and all the glory, Father God, for what you're doing in our lives, Father God, the ones that are here and the ones that are already there, Father God. And we thank you in advance, Father God, for your plans and purposes for your children. So thank you, Father God. Thank you for the ones that are willing to go that are already there. And thank you, Father God, for equipping and preparing the future ones. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated. So we want to pray for God to raise up new missionaries. We want to pray for open doors for those missionaries. We want to pray for open hearts and for a cultural strategy and understanding for missionaries. And I want to give you a couple other brief things that you should pray for when you're thinking about specifics of missionaries. First, pray for them as they raise up local leaders. They need help. This is the primary way that missionaries work. And in the Assemblies of God, we use a model of missions in which we don't take our culture and try to transplant it there, but in which we go and we try to win people for Christ and then raise them up to lead and win others for Christ. Selwyn Bodley shared, the best people to reach the local people are the local people. And so missionaries try to go and win local people to Christ and then teach them and train them how to do that. So they often will work by teaching and training pastors, raising up churches, and then setting them loose to do the work of the gospel for themselves. So pray for missionaries to have wisdom, understanding, and perseverance in raising up local leaders. Then pray for the details. Sometimes what keeps missionaries from getting to the field as quickly as possible can be something as simple as delays in a visa because the government of the country to which they're going is really slow. Pray that God gives them favor. Pray that he will grant them quick access to the nation where he's called them. Sometimes missionaries struggle to raise the support they need to live in the country where they've been called. So pray that God will provide for those needs and give them the support. Pray for God's grace. Pray for missionaries as they face opposition from local government. Pray that they would have favor and grace in that circumstance. And sometimes the simple things like paying the bills or getting supplies can be time-consuming in these countries and can keep missionaries from being able to do the other work that they need to do. So pray that God would give them Godspeed and swiftness in being able to get the mundane things done that are necessary so that they can focus on the ministry things. And then just pray for God's patience in that and his blessing of faithfulness in their lives. And finally, pray for missionaries as normal people. When I was a little boy, I never got into collecting sports cards of any kind, but I did have one kind of card I collected. When I was a kid in children's church and at Sunday school, they had these missionary all-star cards that we would collect, and I think we got a picture of those for you. There they are. I had a whole stack of those. And the Assemblies of God printed these. They gave them to kids in the mid-90s. And missionaries were my heroes. They would, you know, we would come to our church, and my dad was a pastor, so we'd have them over for dinner, and we'd hear their stories. And it was really cool. They seemed larger than life to me. And that's not a bad thing, because I think I could have worse heroes. And maybe for you, missionaries seem something like that. Maybe they just seem distant or larger than life, and they've given up a lot to do what they do for the Lord. And some of them have incredible stories of God's miracles and his provision in their lives. Some of them go to very remote places to take the gospel. At our last missions convention, we heard from Michael Clark, who'd been beaten up and detained by terrorists and shot for Jesus, or shot at. He hadn't actually been hit, but he'd been shot at for Jesus. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones for Jesus. But you know what else missionaries are, other than heroes? They're regular people with very human emotions and very human needs, just like us. Rob Malcolm suggests, pray for loneliness and isolation, even for missionaries in the U.S., because it can be difficult, because your mission may not always make it easy to align with church life as you'd like it to, so it can be quite isolating. He also reminds us that missionaries have families and real family concerns. So he says, pray for family units, that their kids would grow in loving Jesus and not hating the missionary work because it makes them feel other or separate. Michael Brown says that you should pray for every facet of a missionary's health, from spiritual, emotional, psychological, familial, physical. He says prayer should cover the whole of the missionary, which includes the ministry, but it's not limited to that. When missionaries are healthy in every aspect of their life, they are more efficient at reaching the lost. That's true for all Christians. So this includes prayers for the spiritual, physical, mental, relational, emotional, financial, both their personal and ministry finances, and ministerial. It involves prayer for the family. It involves protection and covering. It involves growing in God and depending on him. And so when you pray for a missionary, this is what I would encourage you to do. Think of what you would feel like if you had left your home, left your family, and went to live in another country where you had to learn the language and learn the culture, and then pray for all that stuff, all the anxieties you know you would have, because in all likelihood, they've got the same anxieties, and they've got the same struggles, and they've got the same problems, because they are people like you and I. Think about the tension in your house that might be created among your family members if you're frustrated because you can't yet speak the language in the place where you live, and pray for that. Think of the separation and isolation that kids might experience because they're moving away from a different school, and pray for the missionary's family to find friends and get good education. Pray for their marriages, that God would keep them strong. And you could really go on and on with talking about all the details, but mostly just be thoughtful. Think of the stuff that ordinary human beings need. And then don't just pray, God, give them an open door, but pray, God, keep them in your grace and under your care and their families, and provide for them and bless them. Pray for the very ordinary stuff that they need. And so I'm going to ask if Consuelo would come up and you can stand one last time. We're going to pray for these last three items, for the details, for help raising up local leaders, and then just for prayer for missionaries as normal people. And as she prays, will you be thoughtful as well and join her in just praying God, for missionaries, that God would give them the grace and the comfort that they need for the ordinary stuff in their lives.
Jesus, Lord, we pray for the missionaries and training the local leaders first. Lord God, we just want to pray that you give them wisdom, Lord, to pick the right people, Lord God, that there wouldn't be wrong ambition in the part of the locals, just trying to get money from the Americans or things like that, Lord God, but it would be a true service, Lord God. And I pray that the Americans would also understand that for some of these locals, it is very hard to become a missionary, to leave, for example, the Muslim faith, and to be banned by their family, shunned by their friends, persecuted, tortured, not allowed to have a job. I pray that there would be sensitivity on both sides, Lord God, and I pray that you give the American church ways to help more, Lord God, these locals that are doing so much at such a high cost, Lord God. I pray that you increase our effectiveness, Lord God,
helping the locals, Lord, helping them, Jesus. We pray, Lord God, for people that are trying to get to their mission field, Lord God, and have issues with visas, with regulations, with personal belongings, with family, with people that are sick, with finances, Lord God. We pray that you make a way, Lord God. We pray that you open up the Red Sea for them, Lord God, and let all the enemies be drowned, Lord God, that they would go, that they would be free to go in the name of Jesus to worship you, Lord God, where you have called them, Lord God. We pray favor, Lord God. We pray that you show them. We pray that they know that they know that they know that they've been called, that you are with them, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, Lord God. We pray for those who are leaving countries like Iran, like Eritrea, Somalia, to go to neighboring countries because they can't be in their own country and who still want to minister, Lord God. Open doors for those in North Korea that have deflected to China and want to go back into North Korea, Lord God. Those heroes of the faith, Lord God. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Bless them, anoint them, undergird them, surround them, Lord God. Don't let them be concerned with their own life, with their own family, with their own needs, but let them be so consumed with your love that they would be whole, that they would be victorious, that they would be full of power, full of love, full of joy, peace, Lord God, that even the wickedest of people that are persecuting them would want what they have, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for those feelings of isolation, for those feelings of being ineffective, for those feelings of worthlessness, for those feelings of trying to give up or getting despondent because of lack of fruit and hardship, Lord. We pray that you solidify them, that you make them firm, that you make them stand, that you make them full, that you make them be well, Lord God. We pray a double portion of your anointing. We pray that they would stand in the face of the enemy, Lord God. And like the woman in Proverbs 31, that they would laugh at the future, that they would clothe their home with scarlet and know their God and know that they are well and know who is on their side, where they're going to, Lord God. Oh, just bless them, Lord, right now. If there's any one of them struggling, we pray for the children that will never be fully Americans or fully whatever other nation they're in, but they would be a third culture, Lord God, that they would not feel abandoned or weird, but that they would feel blessed, that they can understand different cultures, that they can fit in different places, Lord God, and that above and beyond all, that they are citizens of heaven. Let them have their identity firmly planted in Christ. Let them know whose they are. Let them know that the beloved is for them. Let them be citizens of the kingdom of God, and let no one take this from them, Lord God. Solidify them in your love and show them the way in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these things, Lord God. We bless you and we praise you, Lord God, that you are with our missionaries and that we all are missionaries, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying tonight, church. Spiritual work requires spiritual work, and that means we should be praying for missionaries. We should pray for God to raise up new missionaries. We should pray for the open doors that they need, for open hearts, cultural connections, for the everyday, ordinary stuff that can get in the way, for their families and the normal emotions that we feel and they feel as well. We should pray for all these things and hold them up as they go, because their work requires that we would work with them. As we read at the beginning, the Apostle Paul basically said, with the word he used, fight on my side in prayer. Join my team in prayer. We're not only partners with them in that we give, we're partners with them in that we pray on their behalf. The battle that we fight as believers and that they're fighting is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. And that means that where we are, even if God has called us here, he has also called us there, at least in prayer. Let's be a church that prays. I'd recommend that you do this, that you make it a regular part of your own devotional life to pray for missionaries, that you make it a part of your family's life to pray for missionaries. Maybe you've never noticed, but when missionaries come to the church, almost without fail, they have cards that they bring with them, prayer cards, to be a reminder. They have their picture on them, tells them who they are, where they're going in the world. I'd encourage you, make a collection, start a new card collection, which is of missionary cards, and begin to pray for those. Keep them in your Bible, put them on your fridge, get a bulletin board, something, and begin to pray for those missionaries in the way that we talked about tonight, because God wants to use you. And I know, like I said, this can sound really, sometimes people think that, you know, they're doers, they want to be doing something, and they think, well, prayer isn't really doing anything. That's not what the Bible says, and if we are to believe that the spiritual work that God wants to do around the world is true, then it means he requires spiritual laborers with him, and that means that when you pray, you are not doing nothing, you are doing a great thing, and that God will use what you do, even in ways that may never be revealed to you, to bring about his purposes in those lives. So join the team of missionaries and pray for them. Father, we thank you so much for all those you've raised up and all those that we're able to support in money. But we also thank you that you've called us to support them in prayer. And we ask, Lord, that tonight, as we've learned how to do this, that you would help us now to be doers of your word in prayer, to be those who would put to practice the things that we know we should be praying for missionaries, and that we would make it a regular part of our lives and know that it's making an impact in the world. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that. In the name of your Son, we pray and we believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being at church tonight. Make sure you add this to your routine to regularly pray for missionaries. We will see you again on Sunday. Until then, go in God's grace and in his peace.